हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमभिर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 14, chapter 2, first stages of devotion. Lord Sri Krishna instructed Uddhava that by following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life amply and without difficulty. This is because, after all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all other living entities. If the whole society performs its respective duties and remains in Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that all of its members will live very peacefully and happily, without wanting the necessities of life. The whole world will be turned into Vaikuntha, a spiritual abode. Even without being transferred to the kingdom of God, by following the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam and prosecuting the duties of Krishna consciousness, all human society will be happy in all respects. To this point, when Krishna is the center, when you make it about Krishna, then everything becomes auspicious. Right? Because all one's duties, all those things are going to be there. So if you do those things in connection with Krishna, then it becomes very nice. And connection with Krishna means that it's under his order that all these things are done, because he always says to the Gita, perform your duty. Right? It's a constant thing that he's always mentioning. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. In order to show the misfortune of not worshipping the worshipable Lord, first the reasons why the Lord is to be worshipped are shown in the first verse. The four varnas headed by the brahmanas along with the ashrams arising from the gunas appeared from the head, arms, belly, feet of the purusha. Those who do not worship the Lord, from whom directly arise the brahmas and all others, and who rather insult the Lord by not worship him, fall down from their position in the varnashram system. Just as failure to respect the most respectable person is called disrespect, so failure to worship the Lord who is most worthy of worship is called contempt. Avajananti. Right. So the universal form, the whole varnashram is coming from him. So then one performs one's position and duties according to his direction, how he says, because they're coming from him, so he says how they work. Right? Not that we say how they work. So then we just do like that, and we see is that the Lord is pleased. He's maintaining everybody, and that's what he does. So if you do this in connection with him, then one is Krishna conscious, and all things go very, very nicely. Right? So accepting this position, then one tries to understand how to apply it and how to balance that as one absorbs in Krishna, but at the same time doing your duties, but not taking the duties as prominent that you're absorbed in Krishna.
Yes. Right? Yes. No, it is a mistake not to be Krishna conscious.
Yes, yes. That's the whole, because human life is meant for that. The animal life is just meant for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all they do. They do their occupation. Everything works out for them. Right? That's all they do. But they don't know about God consciously. They don't map the soul. They don't know how to improve their position, elevate the consciousness. They don't know that. Mm-hmm. But the eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that they do very nicely. So that's the whole point, is human life's meant for going beyond. Because if you want to use it just for that, then better to stay an animal, because they'll do a better job anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, okay, in the commercials, the girl dresses really well and so many boys come around and all that, but it's in the commercial only. Right? But then, the lady dog walks down the street, there are literally 15 dogs following her, and they'll be like that for the whole month. So I'm saying the dog, you know, the animals, you know, they know, they it works for them.
Without training.
Yeah, without training, you know, it's just like that. It works really good. She doesn't have to go out shopping, buy clothes, spend so much money, you know, it just works. 1, 2, 12. The results of Vaidhi Bhakti are stated. By worshipping me through the various methods prescribed in the Vedas and Tantras, one will gain from me his desired perfection both in this life and the next. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:27-49. So Krishna's not saying that all these things won't be there. So we're either thinking, no, we have to get all these things we need and all that, and then forget about Krishna, or it's just about Krishna and we don't deal with these things. Which is all right if you're functioning like on the Paramahamsa level with taste. But if we're not, then so this idea is that you could live the life but connected to Krishna and it would work out nicely. That's not seen. You know, like that. So it's always you have to keep Krishna there in the center. That's the whole point. You're following that principle. You're cultivating Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. There's a similar statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 27th chapter, verse 49. The Lord says here, there, my dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those located in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. If by the result of either of such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they become very happy within this world, as well as the next. Of this there is no doubt. We can conclude from the statement by Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection in all desires. Right? Because it's about Krishna. That's the whole thing. One's always trying to do things in such a way, whatever you're doing, that will be pleasing to Krishna. So you have to find some aspect that goes back to Krishna. Right? That's the whole idea. If we just doubt, we're using our intelligence how to avoid all these things. But if we accept the principle, then we'll use our intelligence how to make this work. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The results of Vaidhi Bhakti are described in the verse, taking Archana as the representative of other processes as well. It is also said, Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So whatever you're doing, using that to worship the Lord, that will bring you to the perfect platform, and it will culminate in Krishna consciousness. So whatever you're doing, that will work out, and that you're doing that then you will come to Krishna. Right? So 1.2.13. In the Pancharatra it says, O Devarshi, all activities prescribed in the scriptures with the Lord are as the object are called Vaidhi Bhakti. By this performance of bhakti, one attains Prema Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the Krishna conscious movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he has now. Right? Because you don't have to designate yourself, you just have to function in the occupation what it is. You know, that's the whole thing. Is that, you know, if I'm going to do, I have to identify, get all the benefits. I'm the doer, and all. No, that then keeps it on the material platform. Or, oh, okay, we don't identify with it, so I don't do it. Right. So one's karma. The first one's karma. The second one's gyan. Bhakti means I don't identify with it. I apply it in Krishna's service. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has, right? Because you don't have to worry about something else, this is better, that's better. It's whatever it is. Because everything's connected to Krishna. So that means every position can be connected to Krishna. I'm not saying one is better than the other and this and that. Right? Does that make sense? Because if we look at it, we want to get into social considerations here, then okay, we're going to, you know, of course we're going to take pot shots at the, you know, the Brahmins or the Sannyasis like that. But let's say we take the Brahmacharis. The Brahmacharis are the feet. Okay, we'll complain about the Shudras, right? You know, oh, they're on the bottom. But the Brahmacharis are also on the bottom, right? So, but no one's complaining about that. You know, so that's the thing is, we don't have to worry about our position. We just have to engage ourselves according to whatever position we have now and use that facility for Krishna.
All right. When we say position or occupation, very often it is, you can say the social position or in work, but what is, what is the occupation there is?
It means whatever you're doing. It means by nature. It means in this present life, one has the nature of a Shudra. One's doing Shudra work. You just continue that. You don't have to do something else, right? Because by doing your duty, that's going to maintain yourself and the family and these kind of aspects like that. And you're going to engage in Krishna consciousness. So on the ashram side, then you'll be able to engage in the direct activities. And on the vocational side, generally speaking, it's all indirect, right? But the point is it's all coming from the Lord. It's all controlled by the laws given by the Lord. And so, therefore, there's no anxiety that somebody's in an unfavorable position. You know? You know, because otherwise these social things come up as that, no, everyone should be this or that or so many things. So, it's a social consideration rather than a Krishna conscious consideration. Like if you go back in time to be a Brahmin, that was the thing to be. Then with time it was kind of noticed, well, the manager's manager, so then that's a good thing. You know, then with time it was figured out, well, you don't have money, then, you know, it's not happening. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, we don't really worry about these things, but they'll keep themselves within the dvija. You know, we're Krishna conscious, or we organize, we have the money and all that. No one brings up the Shudra. You know, so it's just whatever happens to be the flavor of the day, then that's what goes on. But here, Krishna is saying, no, because the point is the flavor of the day is always Krishna. Krishna is the universal form. So if we function in line with Him, it'll always be successful. There's all these other things. Why does it keep changing? Because it's not successful. Like if you do something and it works, are you going to change it? You know, for variety, oh, that's so old hat, or this like that. Hey, you know, for thousands of years, they've been buying things cheaper than they're selling them. What is all this archaic things? We're going to buy things more expensive than we sell, and we're going to make so much money because no one's doing it. We're going to have a monopoly. You know what I'm saying? So the point is whatever works is what you do. So in other words, if they keep changing every few months, means it's not working. It's getting boring, it's getting old, it's getting jaded, so it's not working. And they're talking about we're being happy, we're free. Yeah, free to be, you know, to make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. So Krishna's giving here is that everything's coming from Him. So therefore, you just have to perform your duties, whatever they are. In whatever position, you know, from the revealed scriptures, with the idea that you're trying to please Krishna. And by doing that, it will bring you to prema. So what's the problem? We've been here since time immemorial, so this life you use for Krishna, you go back to Godhead eternally. Who's going to care about this blip in time? You know?
Now, very often, at least in the Western country, many persons and many devotees also cannot find occupation. So they are depending on the social help.
Okay. But they're depending on the social help. But the point is now, if they're depending on the social help, that means technically they're not working.
Yes.
Right. So now, because they're being taken care of by the state, that means they could spend 24 hours in direct activities of devotional service.
Yes. Yes.
So if they're doing that, then they're getting benefit because they're fully engaged, and the state maintaining them will get 1/6 of their benefit. And so it'll benefit the state. So, but if they're can't find work, living off of the welfare system, and aren't Krishna conscious, then that's just a waste of time. That's cheating.
Yes.
His point is, you want to find work, you will find work. It's just that they have a certain standard of what they want, and they don't want to do other things.
Mm.
But otherwise, you get a mop or a broom, and you go into some place, and you got a job. But no, they have to have something, and this much money, and this, so therefore they can't find a job. I think it was a lecture, you know, a talk by, I think it was Bill Gates, to a group of college, you know, undergraduates. I think at the end, when they're graduating, it may have been even just, you know, just before, after grad, you know, something, there was some special program. So he mentioned to them that the problem is you guys all go into the school, you go for these professional degrees, which is very nice, you're working hard, but as soon as you walk out the door of the university, you expect that people are just going to throw $100,000 at you, and that's it, and then your life will just run smoothly like that. You're not willing to put out the effort. You're not willing to get in there and work for it. You think it's owed to you. And he said that jobs that you won't accept, you don't have a job right now. And so better to have a job than no job. But you won't take the job because, you know, it's seen as below your dignity and it's not enough. And I did all these years, I should be able to get this much money and this and that. He says, you say like this, you have no job. And he's pointing out is that, why are you going to this school? Why do you have all this facility? Because your parents and grandparents are, you know, have put it together. So why is that they have money and you don't? Because when your grandparents were young, this job that you won't take, they would. They see it as opportunity. And from that, they'll build and they'll develop and like this until they get, but we won't. So it's just the modes of nature. It's the mode of ignorance. So, fine. They can't find a job. They don't want to work in that. That's great. No problem. But then if the state is supporting them, they should be doing the full morning program, full service, full all these things. You know, unless, of course, they, you know, how you say there's some handicap or like that. That's another thing. But the point is if the state's taking care, which Manu mentions that it should, if, you know, someone who is in a position, a brahminical position, can't maintain himself, the state should take care. So then, but that means then you should be engaged in full-time service. Right? Because somehow or another it's arranged, you have it. But if not, then it'll be lost, it'll go away. Because you should either be doing something full-time work in the society or full-time Krishna consciousness. Then it's a benefit. But if you're doing neither, then it's a burden on society. And with time, people don't want to pay the taxes for such lazy people. You know? And then what are you going to do? Because then you won't have money and won't be Krishna conscious. Yes.
In India now it's the same system, like everybody goes to do graduation. So the Tripura recent chief minister, he gave...
In Tripura?
Tripura, okay. The Tripura state. He spoke exactly like what you said, Billy Gates spoke. But it didn't go well, everybody criticizing the chief minister.
Because they want everything handed to them. They think they deserve it. That's the problem.
He said exactly, he was... Accord the state with the Prabhupada. You have some land, you get some cows, you can go and sell a will, can live. Why you are looking for a job and people are not in a position?
No, they won't like that. And then how will it work?
Yeah.
You know, it's an illusion. Maya is so clever, created such an unfortunate situation, and people don't notice. What to do?
Then chapter Manu Samhita describes the 18 sub Shudra categories. And for all 18 of them, that one job, one thing that they do. The Karwar, he takes care of the leather works and this. When it comes to Antajas, there is no job described. the 19th category, less than the Varnasankara category. So no justice.
Yeah. So if they don't steal, they can live in the city, and if they do steal, they live in the forest. That's all. That means, what is it? They'll just do whatever works. Because the mix and all that is so much that they just don't know who they are, and they're not willing to try to understand. You know? So then it's always a problem. You know, because it's about themselves rather than about Krishna consciousness. So it's not self-realization, it's just self-absorption. But if you if the soul is trying to understand who they are, what they should do, what's the nature of the soul, then they can elevate themselves. And then it's not a problem. But due to motive ignorance, then there's laziness, there's pride, you know, all these things, that the destructive aspect is there. You know, so it becomes a difficulty. It's a difficulty. That's why through the devotional process, one becomes purified, one rises up through the modes, and then there's no problem. You know? So like that. Then it just to be taken advantage of, that then one can do that full-time service, you know? Visit the temple, Harinam, something, some preaching, some like that, that one's fully engaged. And then at least it's worth the, you know, taxpayers' money. Otherwise, why they should support you, because you don't do anything. You know? And the thing is it'll only go live. See, is it, if it's staying in a balanced kind of position, it's not too much of it, you know, like this, or not too little, it's kind of tolerated. But when it gets too much, then the problem is the people who make the money, then they rebel, and they don't want to give anything. So that's the thing, goes more and more, more like this, social, and then, but the problem is the social has to be paid for by the people who make the money. And then they, then will say why we should give the money to them. So then it'll swing the other way. And it's just, that's just history. It goes one way like that, then it swings back the other way, and then it gets too much, and then they get too much into their thing and keep all the money, then it swings back the other way, and it's just, you know. You know, the swing is slow, so people don't notice it, but it does that.
Notice in Bengal.
Sorry?
In the Bengal, from the 70s, the socialist concept is so much, all the businessmen ran away from here to Mumbai.
No, they all left. I always find it really fun. This year they didn't have it, but last year it was, you know, something about come to Bengal, the you know, something about the land of opportunity. And I'm just thinking, are you kidding? What are they talking about?
All their ancestors are still here. All the big businessmen.
Yeah. Because you won't get that much property in Bombay. You know? But yeah, it's the problem. Is that it's nothing gets done. It sounds like it's the mode of goodness, but it's the mode of ignorance. The mode of goodness, everyone does their duty. But here, no one's doing their duty and expecting it to all go on. You know, like that. And so then, it'll just fall apart. So here, because Krishna is everything, everything can be connected, so you can take your position, use it for Krishna, you know, in that sincere way, and then everything works out. The things here work nicely, and you go back to Godhead. But you have to accept it in connection with Krishna. If you don't accept the connection with Krishna, it won't give you anything more than you would get by your karma. But when you accept Krishna, then since he's providing, he's maintaining, then it's all taken care of very nicely. And if someone says, no, but how to, you know, this is not practical, you know, or how to be practical, I haven't seen it work. First is you have to have faith in it. You have the faith, then it will start to work. But until you have the faith, you can't operate it. You know, but no, but we can't have faith till it works. So it says you have faith in the modern system, and it doesn't work, so then...
Okay. Like many of the proper disciples who wrote the prophets and prophets was there, like there was... Prabhupada was staying in the embassy building of the country. When he was invited, I think, to Germany, he was staying in the embassy building.
Yeah.
It's like they had so much then.
So much is that. The volume of stuff that was there, the properties and this and that and so. It was just so much. I mean, just in France, all the chateaus, right? They weren't living in some little, how do you say? They weren't living in the third ring in Paris, out there with the artists. They were living in chateaus with all these different things and doing big programs and, you know, Hari Nams, they all dress, you know, they dress up in these big, you know, like, outfits, you know, mask and all that, as Ram and Lakshman, and there's a whole pageantry going down. It was like an amazing thing. You know, so it's just, it's there. Krishna's, I think Prabhupada says, Krishna's not a poor man.
Yes.
So if you surrender to him, it'll all work. But surrender means surrender, not, well, surrender if it's like this or like that, or I demand this, and then it's okay, then get it yourself.
Maharaj, in France, when the social help came, you know, actually, one devotee tried, okay, and they received money, and after many devotees, and it's just the beginning of Sankar Tandam.
Yeah, because then it's not like, okay, like before, devotees could live very simple in the temple because, you know, there were just, yeah, that, no choice, but also as the lifestyle was simple,
yes. And
there wasn't much outside. But now that they have that, then they can live in their, you know, be broader, more can be engaged and live in their own facility, but have that same opportunity of full-time service like a temple devotee.
Yes.
You know, but if you don't do that, then you just become lazy.
Yes.
I say, could they made it, right? So, yeah. Yes. If one regularly executes such service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he rises to the platform of serving in pure love of Godhead. Right? So that's the point. You just start from what it is, you use it, it goes on nicely and all that. So that's the whole point, is Krishna has given a complete system for going back to Godhead, including the social, economic, you know, emotional, all those different things. It's all included. One just has to take it. Right? But you have to take it in pure devotion. Right? You can't demand. You may have material attachment, that's fine, but you can't demand. It doesn't work like that. Try that with your boss. Go up to him, you know, yeah, you know, our family's big and that, I gotta have more money, so you gotta give me, you know, because it's important, and see how that works. You'll be most likely walking down the stairs with a you know, a box with all your stuff in it, you know, like that.
It's interesting. Some people still maintain that illusion. Oh, my boss is behaving so nicely. When I'm in need, he will help. And when the real need comes, they go and the boss reacts in such a way, they come back and they shatter. Now, whom I'm working for, what am I doing?
Yeah, it's just business. What do you think you are working for?
Like always, I met many people like that.
Yeah, because there's this idea that it's... Because the occupation is the... But ashram is the shelter, not occupation. The occupation takes care... The social takes care, it means it provides the facility for the spiritual. So faith is in that, not in the other. The other one, you do your duties and connect. So that's the difficulty. Chapter 3, Eligibility of the Candidate for Accepting Devotional Service. 1.2.14. The qualified person is described as follows. A person who has developed faith in serving the Lord by impressions arising from the previous association with devotees, who is not too attached to material objects, and who is not too detached, is qualified for Vaidhi Bhakti. So, then develop faith. So that faith in the Lord is there. How is that gained? From the impressions of working with previous association with devotees. Right? So this is that brings them to faith. Then, who's not too attached to material objects, because then you get distracted, but who is not too detached, because then he won't work with everything for Krishna. If you're too attached, you can't use it for Krishna, use it for yourself. If you're too detached, you won't use it for Krishna, but you don't use it for yourself either. Right? Srila Prabhupada.
So this aspect, that conditioned soul, he doesn't have any, idea about Krishna. But in that state, he associates with devotees,
yes.
Then he develops.
Yes.
So the devotees of the Lord has the same
they reflect the same potency of the Lord.
Yes, yes, it's the chit potency. That's the chit potency. That's the point of the parampara. It's when you come in contact, because that's what's working. It's not your technique, it's not, you know, the words you use, it's not the environment you've created, it's all that. That you're trying to use your intelligence and trying to, see that the activities are favorable and trying to create a nice place all so that it will go nicely preaching for Krishna. That's why it works. The things themselves don't work. That's why you see one person's doing in this great, he comes, he gives this whole seminar on how you do this, all of the secondary things. Others get fired up, they try it, it doesn't work. Because it's not about the secondary. It's about you engaging your nature, whatever it is, in Krishna's service. So that's why, since the natures are different, one person does something and it works that way, someone else does it in some other way. Is that...
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is about to take sannyas, he gives instructions to Vishnupriya Devi. Only true thing in this world is the holy name and the Vaishnavas. There is nothing else. Everything is unreal.
Yeah. So everything seen in that context, that's real. Yeah, very nice. Srila Prabhupada. On account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna, but at the same time one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment, and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. Right, so if he's unflinching attraction for Krishna, they become a candidate, even though there's difficulty. But when they have that faith in Krishna, then doing it for Krishna, then they'll renounce that little bit that they have to and not be so attached. You know? At the same time, not be too detached. Because that doesn't work either. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The word ati bhagyena, by extreme good fortune, means, quote, by distinctive impressions arising from association with devotees, end quote. Footnote 4. Thus, the case of faith is not material action, but bhakti in the form of association with devotees. So, we see is that the whole process works because of association. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Ati bhagyena means by special impressions arising from association with great devotees. Vairagyam means false renunciation, which is unfavorable for worship. The devotee does not indulge in that false vairagya. However, it is understood he will endeavor for detachment from desires for material enjoyment, since that is favorable for development of bhakti. Footnote 5. He will endeavor by yukta vairagya. Right? He connects it to Krishna. So, if it's favorable in service, he will connect it to Krishna. But at the same time, as if it's not, then he won't. Right? So that's the thing. He won't be so detached, he won't work with it, but he won't be so attached that he doesn't connect it to Krishna. It's just going to turn into a storm.
Yes.
That could be a problem.
Yes.
Oh well, it'll cool down. So. 1:2:15. Yataika dashe. Yadrishchaya mat katadao jata shradhostu yaf puman. Na nirvino nati shakto bhakti yogo sya siddha. Maybe go up, and on that, if you go up the stairs and then there's other stairs, go up on the roof there and see what the clouds look like. If it's just light gray, then that's one thing. But if it looks a little bit more, then if you see black clouds rolling in and like that, give us a be quick. In the 11th canto, it is said, if somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting by glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:28. Srila Prabhupada. This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotees is the sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotional service. In this connection, Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, quote, "My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attracted to me. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities, or is not completely attached to devotional service, such service is quickly effective." Because it's in connection with him, it's been heard, it's been received from bona fide devotees, and one has that faith. Right? But these other things, they go along, that's just from habit. It's just been done for a long time. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The Lord describes this awakening of faith. "Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all prescribed activities, varnashram, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense enjoyment leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities." Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20, 27-28. Partly black means there are some black ones, yes, and some light ones.
Yes.
And are the black ones coming this way?
It's some this side of the area, not this side.
And which way is the wind blowing?
This side, from south to north.
No, east. It means if you went under the roof here, which way is the wind blowing?
That side is this side.
And where were the black clouds?
This side, the cloud side.
Means this side or this side?
I'm saying from.
If you, now you're looking at you're looking at the clouds.
Towards the left.
Okay, and then the wind is blowing towards you.
Yes, towards me.
So that means the black clouds are coming this way.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And how far away are they? These, the other side of the Ganga, they're at the Ganga, they're...
Very southern.
No, here on the, in this area it is there. And very far distance they are not there. Means everywhere there are some pockets of white parts and pockets of black. Not very thick.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so the whole point is one knows the activities, material activities aren't going to give good results. Like that. But somehow or another, still one can't renounce all senses. So much has been adjusted and all that. One's engaged in Krishna consciousness, but still there's some attachment. But still one understands that it's not good.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not a, how you say, it's not just, it's not a show. Because of that attachment, they get involved, but then they see that it's just not good and they don't. So they'll be able to continue in devotional service. They think if they try to say, no, it's all right, why be so fanatic, then they'll have difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Some sense. Like that. At the same time, if they get too disturbed like that and can't function, can't chant, then they'll also have problems. In the verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-28, quoted above, the word tata means starting from this situation. It means you start from here. It's not a process. It's where you start from. Starting from this situation thereafter. Bhakti is not dependent on anything else because it possesses its own great power. It is not like jnana or other processes. Like jnana, you have to have good qualification. You know, very good qualification. Karma, you need good qualification. Like that. Get a modern job, you have to have qualification. But bhakti is independent. It's not dependent upon all these. It's not like jnana or other processes which are dependent on detachment and other things. However, it is dependent on indifference to karma. Nir vinna sarva karma su. In order to bring about exclusive concentration on the Lord, anyavi lashita shunyam. So if there's indifference to karma, then you can get that one-pointed. As long as that one's not indifferent to karma, then it will be Krishna and all these things. So that's why he's saying is he knows it's not. So he has that aspect of being indifferent to the karma, though he may still be involved. It's not that, you know what I'm saying? Then it'll move forward very quickly. If it's you're involved in the other and it's fine, then times you're Krishna conscious, times you're not, then it'll be slower. But if you're able to appreciate, though at the same time as there's difficulties, things will still move forward. Right? Because bhakti is independent. Yes.
So the principle is, you can clearly discern that the active principle is bhakti, which is moving me forward.
Yes.
And you have to develop taste for it. And the more you concentrate on that, automatically the indifference...
Yeah, that'll come up. Mm-hmm. But you have to have that faith.
Yes.
And be, you know, and striving for that. It's not that we have to do it. We have to be willing to take part in it. And Krishna will arrange. But we have to have faith that Krishna's arrangement is what's good. So we just perform our duties, we're just involved how we are, then that makes it work.
But and the aspect of becoming indifferent is we need to be aware of it. I mean...
Yes, you need to be aware. I mean, if you're on the point where you don't even notice, then that's fine.
Because
it's so transcendental that you don't even see. That's also okay.
Sometimes some of the material attachments we just are, in one sense, too, what you can say, like, sometimes some people, they are not even aware in the sense that they don't care.
Yeah, if they don't care, that's the thing. One's aware, but it's not that. But at the same time, is then that's what's mentioned in the Shastras, they take that attachment connected to the Lord. Right? So you're trying to, okay, if something is not so valuable, but one's attached to it, then see how that could be engaged in the Lord's service, and then put focus there. That way then, whatever that desires, those needs, that's then taken care of, but then the other. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. And here it says, he's also, I say, and he repeats such, and he sincerely repents. Mm-hmm. But that's meaning that he understands how it's not right, mm-hmm. and that based on Krishna consciousness, based on Shastra, not on the modern context.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's the meaning of sincerely. It means it's about Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's about Shastra. It's about authority. Mm-hmm. Right. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Oh no, did we finish that one?
No.
Such an inclination is suitable at this stage of bhakti. However, it is not necessary in the higher stages, such as that of Atmarama, when indifference to material goals has already been achieved.
Yes.
Right? So it's used within sadhana.
Yes.
Right? And especially, you know, here we see within when you're using karma yoga. You know, in jnana yoga it'll be less. And when one gets to bhava bhakti, then one is liberated, so one's detached. It's natural. So the point is it's used here. It's not the system for everybody. That's the Vedic system, is that all these systems are there for everybody, and you fit in where you fit. And you know the system, so you know where you fit, that's perfect for you. And where others are fitting, that's good for them. This idea is what I'm doing, that's what everybody should be doing, then that's a problem, because then that's impersonal, because then we're not considering the individual nature of each living entity.
Mm-hmm.
And that this has been defined by the universal form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. A person develops faith, jata shraddha, in topics about me by merciful association with devotees, yadrishchaya. That is the meaning of yadrishchaya in this verse, since it is according to the use of the word in the first canto, where it indicates association with a great devotee by the devotee's mercy. Quote, at that moment there appeared by his own will, yadrishchaya, the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled over the world disinterested and satisfied with himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded by women and children, and he dressed as if others had neglected him. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.25. So this would be when he came into the assembly of sages with Parikit Maharaj. So, yeah, powerful son means that by his own will. So then he came, seeing something. The following verses show that a person who has faith in topics of the Lord, mat katan dao, kata dao, jata shraddha, is qualified for bhakti yoga. Shraddhamrita kata yam me, firm faith in the blissful narration of my pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.2. Shraddhalur mat kata shrinvan. A faithful person who constantly hears such transcendental activity. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.23. Nati shakta means devoid of extreme attachment to body, house, and family. Na nirvin na, not detached, means that the person is completely disgusted with sense object, is qualified for jnana, not bhakti. Because bhakti means you're engaging the senses and sense objects in the Lord's service. But jnana means you're not engaging them. Right? Does that make sense? That's why the jnana has a limit. It's useful up to the point where you're not distracted by the material energy. But it becomes itself a distraction if we don't take up devotional service. If he is too attached to sense objects, he is qualified to karma. If the person is devoid of extreme attachment, then that person is qualified for bhakti. Thus, there are three persons qualified by three types of attachment. Disgust with objects is caused by purification of the heart, arising from practice of nishkam karma. The cause of too much attachment is beginningless ignorance, avidya. The cause of being devoid of too much attachment is the unexpected association with exalted devotees alone. These respective causes should be noted. However, there are seen cases of extraordinary qualification. By the unexpected association of the devotee, even a person extremely attached to sense objects, indriyavan, becomes qualified for bhakti. Yes. Okay.
You can say for example, the association of Shrapa, immediately.
Yes. Yeah, you would see they do amazing things. And even to this day, so many years later, it's just still, they're just so absorbed in those impressions, because it mentioned before about the impressions, right?
Yes.
The verse. Well, it's the previous verse, right? The person who has developed faith in serving the Lord by impressions arising from previous association with devotees. So, that association with Prabhupada, especially those devotees in the 60s, like that, then you see is that they still are, that's driving them today. And so then that's the potency of association. That's why. So, they have that personal association, that Bapu aspect. That's nice, but you generally see the Vani is the important. That's how you apply it. And so the Vani is there. We're hearing it here. We're hearing from Srila Prabhupada. We're hearing from Jiva Goswami, Vishwana Chakrabarti Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami. All-star cast.
So, if you're a devotee, whatever situation you are in, from there, he can show you the door for the spiritual life, no?
Yeah, well, that's why it says even a moment's association. Because the point is if you connect to the chit potency, that impression, that itself is enough. You know, it's not a matter of volume, it's a matter of the impression.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Narad Muni was explaining to Vyasadeva in his previous life. Then he had heard from he had associated with those great Mahabhagavats, and so therefore then he was moving forward. And he became detached, he moved out like this, and then at one point the Lord spoke to him. Then that experience of the sound of the Lord's voice, that's what then drove him for the rest of that existence.
There's also this one story in the Puranas,
Amrish Maharaj, he has that brother.
He has a brother.
And he's completely into sense gratification. So once when Narada Muni comes, Amrish Maharaj became sad and he expressed that to Narada Muni, I have this brother who is completely engaged in sense gratification. I'm worried about him. Please do something. And Narada Muni went and then he was in the association of worldly women and everything. Narada Muni was standing there, he was not even paying much attention. Then finally, okay, sage came, he went and offered obeisances. And he asked, what you have to do there? See, I'm not interested in anything spiritual, please go away like that. Respectfully said, okay, I have some gift for you, I have some request for you. Okay, please tell, he says. Whenever, like, no, when you go, because you are doing all this, no, when you die, you'll go back to Yamaraj's abode. So when you go there, you just ask this one question to Yamaraj. What is the effect of a moment's association with a devotee? Then he just took it casually. But he did happen that when he died, he had to go to Yamaraj's abode. Then he went and asked, what is the effect of a moment's association of a devotee? I was thinking what to do then. He contemplated, he could not sit there. Then he went to Brahma. And Brahma was also thinking what to do. Then he went to Shiva. Lord Shiva was thinking, then they took, then finally they thought, okay, this is about bhakti, we need to go to Lord Vishnu. Then they, along with him, they took everyone to him to Vishnu.
Oh, so he was going along with it.
Yeah. Then Lord Vishnu was smiling and then said, what is the effect? All of you please go away, leave him here. That is the effect. So he went back to God.
Yeah, because that moment is... So when that moment's association there, you don't fit into the regular karma, so it's not actually within the Yamarajas.
But he had faith in Narada Muni, that's why he could remember that question, mm-hmm. and he could put
it... Yeah, because he had faith that he as a sadhu.
So,
like that. So that much is there. Yeah, very good. Okay. Okay, so there's... Okay, you have this... Thus there are three persons qualified by three types of attachment. Disgust with objects caused by purification of the heart arising from the practice of nishkama. Too much attachment is beginning from... Too much is caused by avidya. And the cause of being devoid of too much attachment is the unexpected association with devotees alone. Right? So from jnana, then you'll perform nishkam, and then you'll be disgusted. Then from not perform that, then just avidya, you'll go on in your karma. Mm-hmm. So to have that balance that we're talking about, that will only come from association with devotees. Yeah. However, there are seen cases of extraordinary qualification by the unexpected association of the devotee. Even a person extremely attached to sense objects, Indriyavan, becomes qualified for bhakti. Right? You know, you have Bhagavan who has all the opulences. So Indriyavan, one who's just totally absorbed in the senses. You know. Yeah. My dear King, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls involved with sense gratification would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipable even for the greatest of liberated souls? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.2. 1.2.16. There are three types of persons qualified for Bhaiti Sadhana Bhakti. The Uttama, the Madhyama, and the Kanista. 1.2.17. The Uttamadhikari is defined as follows. The person who is skillful in scripture and logic, completely firm in his belief, with deep faith, is considered qualified as Uttama in Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Devotees may be divided into three classes. The devotee in the first or utmost class is described as follows. He is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures, and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. he can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion. Right? Discretion means according to who's there and what's being said and everything like that. And can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. He understands perfectly that the ultimate goal of life is to attain to the transcendent loving service of Krishna. And he knows that Krishna is the only object of worship and love. This first-class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master, and has sincerely obeyed him in accordance with revealed scriptures. Thus, being fully trained to preach and become a spiritual master himself, he is considered first-class. The first-class devotee never deviates from the principles of higher authority, and he attains firm faith in the scriptures by understanding with all reason and arguments. When we speak of arguments and reason, it means arguments and reason on the basis of revealed scriptures. So it's not that his ability to argue is so great. It means he is, everything's fixed in scriptures, and that's what gives it that solid. And he has that revelation. The first class devotee is not interested in dry, speculative methods meant for wasting time. In other words, one who has attained a mature determination in the matter of devotional service can be accepted as a first class devotee. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Previously, in defining Vaidhi Bhakti, it was said that Vaidhi Bhakti existed where the actions were inspired by the teachings of Scripture. Thus, it may be concluded that the root cause of a person's bhakti is faith in the content of Scriptures. Conviction in the contents of the Scriptures is called Shraddha, or faith. According to the degree of faith in the Scriptures, there will be classifications of persons possessing that faith. That is now the topic of discussion for two verses, right? Because you have in position in Scripture, position in chanting the holy name, and there's a third one, Lord Chaitanya gives. I think it's just faith. I think there's faith, then being fixed in Scriptures, or maybe those may be connected. Can't remember. Well, Lord Chaitanya mentions them, so you have all three, so we're going through that here. No? Jiva Goswami's commentary. Oh no, we just met. Yes. According to the degree of faith in the Scriptures, there will be classifications of persons possessing that faith. Oh, okay. That is how now the topic of a discussion for two verses. The second verse has been divided into two verses, 18 and 19. Shastre yuktau nipuna means conversant with Scripture and logic. This person developed firm conviction, viridha nishchaya, through studying thoroughly the principles of philosophy, tattva, the sadhana, and the goal, purushartha, footnote 6, vastutraya. That is the meaning of sarvata, in all ways. Logic, yukte, should here be understood as logic following the statements of Scripture. In other words, we shouldn't think that it's rhetoric. It's how to argue. But it's actually the logic of the Scriptures. You just follow that. The Scriptures give these examples, give that logic, you follow that. Because independent logic is condemned in verses 1-145, one cannot understand bhakti by dry logic. Yuktis tu kevala naiva. This is understood from the Vedanta Sutras 2-127. Shrutes tu shabda mulatvat. The Lord can be understood only through the Scriptures. That's the only method. A meaning should be accepted with reference to what precedes and follows. Such reasoning is the logic to be used. Dry logic should be rejected. Right? So, connected to the Scriptures, it's about seeing it in the context. Right? What precedes and what follows. You have a verse. What does it say before that? What does it say after that? So in that context is how that verse. So each verse, there's verses before it and after. So that's how that verse is seen.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And so the progression goes, but it's still all connected. Because in the connection, all of them are going on what's before them and after them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's not that you have this one, then when it moves to the next one, the previous one doesn't matter. And the one after that doesn't matter. Then when you move to that, now only it matters.
Yes.
It's always in that context.
When these connections are removed and only taken partly here and there.
Yes.
Then that, they are discussing it only secondly.
This only second. They're not seeing it in the context. So that's what it means by the dry logic. Because you're just taking here and there, but what's the system that you're using is your own mind. Well, if you're using Shastra, it means that verse is there, what's before it, what's after it, what does it mean? Accordingly, now you're expressing it, and then applying that the logic to that. You understand? So in other words, you're applying your logic to the Shastra, but the dry means you're applying Shastra to your logic. Yes.
And also it's described one who has faith.
Yes.
One, if he doesn't have faith, he may be just trained in the system to see everything, but still he cannot convince others with it.
Yes.
He may explain everything very expertly. But
yes. Yes, yes. Because there is no chit potency. So that's what makes it. Well, you can't. You won't actually be convinced, and you won't be able to convince others. Because if you were convinced, then you would be able to.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why it's difficult. That's why it says you should read the Shastra nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Not just take here and there just so you can improve your arguing skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from Vaishnava Tantra, footnote 7. Since the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita that by all the Vedas he is to be known, Vidaischa Severaham Eva Vedyo. And since, according to Vedanta Sutra, all words are ultimately his names, and since he is addressed in Bhagavatam as Vachya Vachyaka, the Vedas and their original speaker, everything that precedes and follows a statement is Krishna only. Therefore, the meaning is also Krishna, devotional service. So we should also see everything in connection with devotional service, with Krishna. That's the whole point. Because it's functioning only because of Krishna. So that aspect, then you can see. You can see more, great, but you just catch that one. A person who is qualified as above and has deep faith is the Uttamadhikari. The Madhyamadhikari is defined as follows. The person who, not fully conversant with scriptures, like the Uttamadhikari, but has firm conviction in them, is known as the Madhyamadhikari. Srila Prabhupada, the second class devotee has been defied by the following symptoms. He is not very expert in arguing on the strength of revealed scripture, but he has firm faith in the objective. The purport of this description is that the second class devotee has firm faith in the procedure of devotional service unto Krishna, but he may sometimes fail to offer arguments and decisions on the strength of revealed scripture to any opposing party. But at the same time, he is still undaunted within himself as to his decision that Krishna is the supreme object of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Jiva Goswami's commentary. In this verse, Shastradish Vani Puna means he is not as conversant with scriptures as the Uttamadhikari. End quote. This means that when a strong challenger presents his points, he cannot establish the correct conclusion. Shradhavan means he is still firmly convinced in his mind of the scriptural conclusions. 1, 2, 19.
Hmm. So the difference would be in the level of realization, because of which he cannot put it in a way that...
He can't put it into words, he doesn't know how to connect it yet. Yes.
So because of the association, then he has faith in
it. Yes, yes. So he has faith in it, but he may not know what to say. But then the Uttama will know what to say, because there's realization. So in other words, he has that understanding.
Yes.
And some, you know, but the other has more realizations. 1, 2, 19. The definition of the Kanista Adhikari is as follows. He who has weak faith because of even less knowledge of scriptures than the Madhyamadhikari is called the Kanista. Srila Prabhupada. The neophyte, a third class devotee, is one whose faith is not strong, and who, at the same time, does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture. The neophyte's faith can be changed by someone else with strong arguments, or by an opposite decision. Right? So, the Madhyama, he can't be changed, though he may not know what to say. The neophyte can be, his faith can adjust by others' arguments.
Mainly because he doesn't appreciate the association of...
That's there, it's not as strong, but he also does not recognize the decision of the revealed scripture.
Yes.
So he doesn't have that faith that scripture says that it's correct, so we should figure out how to apply it. It's a matter of, well, maybe, maybe not, you know, it's Kali Yuga, and, you know, and we're not fanatic, and we chant Hare Krishna, and all those things. Unlike the second class devotee who cannot put forward arguments and evidences from the scripture, but who still has all faith in the objective, the neophyte has no firm faith in the objective. Thus he is called the neophyte devotee. Footnote 8. Srila Madhvacharya states, Archayam eva samshtitam vishnum yatva tad anyatra naiva janati yaf puman. A Kanishta Adhikari has no idea that the Supreme Lord has the power to exist outside a church or temple. Right? That's why in the temple, then, you know, that's devotional service. And what you do there, that's devotional service. But when they walk out and they deal in the indirect, they don't know how to connect that to Krishna. Or think there's no need, they're just being practical, and that's devotional life. So then the problem comes, and then we want everybody to take part, but we don't want to scare them with these direct activities, so then we'll try to make some other adjustments and all that so that they'll be comfortable. But the problem is that we don't see how Krishna consciousness is beyond everything's in Krishna's world. Everything's connected to Krishna. So their position can already be connected. So it's a matter of having that faith and connecting it and bringing them into Krishna consciousness, rather than watering down Krishna consciousness or deviating Krishna or distracting it to try to make it interesting to the materialistic mind. Right? You're trying to attract the attention, but you're trying to show how within what they're already dealing, Krishna's there, rather than you're showing themselves something other than Krishna, because you don't see Krishna there. So that's why it won't be very effective. Furthermore, being puffed up by his own ceremonial worship, Atmano Bhakti Darpataha, a Kanishta Adhikari cannot imagine that anyone is more pious or religious than he, and he is not even aware that other devotees are more advanced. Thus he cannot understand the Madhyama or the Uttama standard of devotional service. And sometimes, because of his false pride, he criticizes the more advanced devotees of the Lord, neglects them, or simply has no understanding of their exalted position as preachers or completely self-realized souls. So it's just, they're unable to understand because they only know the worship in the temple, they're doing that very nicely, and so therefore they're the best. And someone else, then they may not see in that same light, so they can't be very important. Even though they may be exalted preachers or completely self-realized souls, right? That's the point here.
This indicates that it is very important to care about the devotee.
Yes, devotees.
To help them to advance.
Yes. Yeah, that's why it always says Swajati. You always associate with like-minded but more advanced. And then what was that point you made before about the Kanishta Adhikari?
They don't appreciate that.
The associating devotees. So that's what's being mentioned here by Madhvacharya. So that's the difficulty. So by association, then they understand, they move forward, they get nicely situated like that. So that's the whole point. Is the process of sadhana bhakti, if it's followed nicely in the association of devotees, will bring you to bhava. Okay. Jiva Goswami's commentary. This person is not at all conversant with scriptures. Ani punaha. The phrase shastradish vani punaha should be supplied from the previous definition. The person's...
I think the note is coming on. No?
Sorry?
I think the note below. No, this is
not yet completed.
What's not completed?
Footnote is not yet
completed. Oh, it keeps going. Wow. Okay, so in this, then that put a continued or something there.
I didn't observe that.
Sorry?
I didn't observe that.
Okay, yeah. We'll leave it. Other symptoms of the Kanishta Adhikari is that he is infatuated by the material qualifications of so-called great materialistic persons. Hence the ideas that you have to be professional, have this, have degrees, all these things, because they are infatuated by the material qualification of so-called great materialistic persons. You know, otherwise, what's the point? Karmis aren't even necessarily infatuated. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Having a bodily concept of life himself, he is attracted by material opulence and thus minimizes the position of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Such a Kanista Adhikari, therefore, is disturbed if a second-class devotee criticizes the non-devotees of the Lord. In the name of compassion or kindness, a Kanista Adhikari approves of the non-devotional activities of such materialistic men. Because the Kanista Adhikari is ignorant of the higher realms of devotional service and the unlimited transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness, he sees devotional service merely as the religious aspect of life, but thinks that life has many enjoyable and worthwhile non-devotional aspects. So it's just that religious, those direct things, that's there. And then the rest of life, then that's for enjoyment.
Many times we hear this voice exactly from many devotees.
Yeah. No, it's very rarely. Madhvacharya always says it as it is. Therefore, it becomes anger when second-class devotees who are experienced that Krishna is everything criticize the non-devotees. Madhvacharya says that such a person, because of his rudimentary faith in Krishna, is considered a devotee. But he is a bhaktadhamma, a devotee on the lowest standard. If such materialistic devotees follow the rules and regulations of deity worship, they will gradually be elevated to a higher standard and eventually become pure devotees of the Lord, unless they commit offenses against other devotees, in which case their advancement will be checked. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2, 47, purport. So it's a standard aspect. This faith in devotees, faith in the scripture, faith in the Lord, this is then the whole point. That faith, that's what makes everything work. Like that. So as it said before, even if there's attachment and other things like that, one will still move forward. So they're mentioning here the Kanista because the faith is not very much and the attachment is there. But as that faith grows, then the process works. It's based on the faith. That's what makes it work. Yes.
That's a little secondary aspect. Many times we observe like many of the devotees, owing to their backgrounds, that they just want to fit into the society because of which they have this kind of problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to worry about what others say.
As if the karmis do?
Yeah. So, but what I have seen is somebody who is little more like, I mean, owing to the backgrounds we come from, as we are like little more on like, you know, putting many karmis beside and moving little higher, then this kind of confidence comes that we need not worry about everyone thinks. You are supposed to think like a leader.
Right. Yeah, point is that the one who gets ahead in the world isn't worried what everybody thinks. They know what people think, but they're not worried about it. The person who's just worried about what people think and wants to fit in, that's the common person. Right? But those who... It's just like, what does everybody think of a businessman? What's their view on administrators? What's their view on the professors at the university? Yeah, so then I'll leave it to you to work out what's left. So when you say you fit in, it means you're fitting in on that level. So then that's okay if you're comfortable there, but don't try to present yourself as a leader in a Brahminical society. It means just do, take part, be very, very happy in the association of devotees, do what you can. And don't try to make everybody like you, because that's the point. Is devotees? Everyone's an individual. They're you know, like that. There's processes and this and that. But fit into what? How do you fit in? Let's take Bombay, and you want to fit into the Bombay scene. Okay, fitting into the Bombay scene. What shoes should you wear? The exact shoes. Which one should you wear? Okay, what about the pants? Now, do you wear a belt or not? And if you do wear a belt, what kind of belt? And what's the buckle like? You know, and then the shirt. How do you wear it? Do you wear the ones out? Do you wear the ones in? You know, and if they're in, do they have muffin top or they don't have that? Are they the slim fit or not? So therefore, do you have to go to the gym?
How many buttons do you keep
open? Yeah, how many you keep open? You know, how much hair should be there? You know what I'm saying? So, what is this? How do you... So the point is, what does that mean, even, that you have to fit in? What does that even mean? Because wherever you fit in, someone else thinks that you're weird. Guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? So that's this whole idea that there is such a thing as fitting in. It's an illusion. You know, you can fit into your species, but to think that this jungle of species, you're going to fit in there like everybody, that doesn't work. The meerkats aren't hanging out with the cougars or with the, you know, with the monkeys or, you know, with the koalas or, you know, like that, you know, especially since they don't swim that good. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that, yes, for your few friends, you're fitting in with your few friends, but never should you think, I'm fitting in with the whole society, because you're not. You never will be.
Interesting, with Charles of Davis, like, what is considered among the society the best thing is that you have the highest confidence. Prabhupada already spoke that we are here to lead the society, so you have to be leaders, so you have to be exceptional in character. Mm-hmm. You already put us, even if it's in material pattern, already put us on the top level.
Yeah, because if you have character, everyone will respect you. And if you don't have character, it doesn't matter how much money and this and that. You'll make your money, but no one will like you. Mm-hmm. Anything, you don't have character, who likes the professor who doesn't have good character? Mm-hmm. Who likes the administrator? Who likes the businessman? Who even likes the shudra who doesn't have good character? So that's the point, is like you said. It's very, very good. Prabhupada's already given. We've been given everything. That's the whole thing. Is Krishna wants us to be successful. He wants all living entities. But then those who will take up the process, then, you know, especially. And so he gives all facility.
And even like, you know, when Krishna came to Dwarka or some other place, it's mentioned, apart from the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, exemplary character, Vaishyas, and even some Shudras come friends to meet.
Yeah.
They have that position that they can.
Yeah, because they have that character and everything. Yeah, so that's the point, because he would greet everyone. It's also when Prithu Maharaj came into the... Then all the leaders of society, it means that all groups have their leaders. So like you said, you know, the Vaishyas, Shudras, like that. I remember once it was what came in with... I don't know what was the reason, but we had gone to a program, I think, in Bombay with the Chamber of Commerce. I don't know if there's many of them or whatever, but it was one of them. And then I was sitting, and that, and some just came along, and they were... And he was like the chairman of the whole committee and all that. And so then he came, and, you know, he was very... You know, like that. You know, deal properly, expecting everything to be done nicely and all that. You know, because I was used to that, you know, because you're a sadhu, they come along and say you have to meet the sadhu, so they just come along, like this, and walk off. So I just sat there. And then the guy was standing there and started talking. And then I figured he stinks. And then when I stood up, then, you know, things worked nicely. But, you know, the point is they have their leaders. Everybody, the guilds, they have their leaders. You know, so they have, you know, you have character at work. Like that's how we get things done, is through the character. Because, you know, if you want to do it by the material means, then you better be really good. You know, so unless you're really rich, powerful, from the right families, you know, went to school with all those people, you know, so then, you know,
even after that you should be able to pacify your enemies.
Yeah. Or they will get you.
Prabhupada said, I think to Brahmananda Prabhu, that you follow the four regular principles and go anywhere in the world, you'll be respected.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. May have been in Australia. Bhavananda Prabhu was doing some kind of thing, and then afterwards, I'm not sure, maybe it was a reporter or something. You know how they always have to be snarky, and that's news. Somehow or another, snarky is news. And so then he asked about, you know, these facilities, and it's, you know, it's just, you know, you're supposed to be renounced to that and sense gratification and all that. And Bhavananda Prabhu looked at him and said, where's the sense gratification if there's no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, or no gambling? You're not using any of this facility for that. How is it sense gratification? The reporter had nothing to say. That was it. Because you have the fancy car, you're going to use it for going out and having parties, but you're just going to the program and going back to the temple. How is that sense gratification?
Third car.
Yeah.
Lifeless car.
Yeah, so that's
how expensive it is.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that if you're following these, then it has to be respected, because who's following? Okay. A person's faith is just conviction in the meaning of scriptures, without knowing much. Ani puna, in this case, means a little knowledgeable, less than the madhyama, having weak faith, kamala shraddha, means that it is possible to break his faith by different scriptural reasonings. So they get distracted in other things, and, you know, other sampradayas, or this, or that, or other people, they're all doing stuff, so one has to have that faith that what the scriptures are telling, what Prabhupada and the acharyas are giving us, that this is the thing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Other persons using scriptural logic can defeat a person with tender faith. However, the person is not completely unconvinced, because in that case the person would not even be considered a devotee. Weak faith in the verse means temporary unsteadiness of the heart when defeated by strong materialistic opponents. Later the person regains faith in what the guru has taught by his own judgment. So at the time you don't know, you get distracted, you get bewildered, but then if you're away from that, then thinking and all this, then it'll come back. You know? Yes.
Basically, he has got that little taste for what is devotional service.
Yes. That's why devotees are special. Even though we're just, the reason for this is that one should then therefore try to move forward in the process. It's not a criticism. It's just so that one knows that there are different levels, so therefore one should be trying to be progressive. 1, 2, 20-21. Among the four types of persons qualified for bhakti mentioned in the Gita, when they receive the mercy of the Lord or his devotee and eradicate those tendencies, they become qualified for pure bhakti. Examples of this are Gajendra, Shonaka, and the sages, Dhruva, and also the four Kumaras. Srila Prabhupada. Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.16. It is stated that there are four classes of men, namely those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. Begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in the matter of their respective self-satisfaction. They go into some place and worship and pray to God for mitigation of material distress, or for some economic development, or to satisfy their inquisitiveness. And a wise man who simply realizes the greatness of God is also counted among the neophytes, because God's great, and so he wants to, you know, do the needful. Right? Such beginners can be elevated to the second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees. An example of the neophyte class is Maharaj Dhruva. He was in need of his father's kingdom and therefore engaged himself in devotional service to the Lord. Then in the end, when he was completely purified, he declined to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Similarly, Gajendra was distressed and prayed to Krishna for protection, after which he became a pure devotee. Similarly, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar were all in the category of wise, saintly persons. They were also attracted by devotional service. A similar thing happened to the assemblage in the Naimisharanya forest, headed by the sage Shonaka. They were inquisitive and were always asking Suta Goswami about Krishna. Thus, they achieved the association of a pure devotee and became pure devotees themselves. So, that is the way of elevating oneself. In whatever condition one may be, if he is fortunate enough to associate with pure devotees, then very quickly is elevated to the second class or first class platform. Okay, so that's the idea. These four types of devotees have been described in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and they have all been accepted as pious. Without becoming pious, no one can come to devotional service. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita 7:28 that only one who has continually executed pious activities and whose sinful reactions in life have been completely stopped can take to Krishna consciousness. Others cannot. The neophyte devotees are classified into four groups: the distressed, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise, according to their gradations of pious activities. Without pious activities, if a man is in a distressed condition, he becomes an agnostic, a communist, or something like that. Yeah, something like that. You know, it's like the 12 tribes or lower. Because he does not firmly believe in God, he thinks that he can adjust his distressed condition by totally disbelieving in him. Right? You get rid of the distress by not believing in God. Right? You believed in God, you're distressed, so if you don't believe in God, the distress will go away. Right? Yeah.
This category of neophyte is because they require some external push by which they have to focus on Krishna.
Yes, you could say that would be one way of looking. You know, just their absorption in Krishna and all that. But it means this is talking in the faith. Yeah. But you can also have, just on the scriptural aspect, that someone could be a pure devotee, but not know much of scripture.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you ask him, he won't know what to say. But he has, you know, he's firmly fixed in Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, all these things can be taken kind of as together, or they can also be separately seen. Does that make sense? So it's just an idea of understanding where one fits. Like that. Lord Krishna, however, has explained in the Gita 7:17 that out of these four types of neophytes, the one who is wise is very dear to him, because a wise man, if he is attached to Krishna, he's not seeking an exchange of material benefits, right? He's grateful, so he's trying to do something for Krishna. The other three want something from Krishna. But they've gone to Krishna, right? So that's the... A wise man who becomes attached to Krishna does not want any return from him, either in the form of relieving distress or in gaining money. This means that from the very beginning, his basic principle of attachment to Krishna is more or less love. Furthermore, due to his wisdom and study of Shastra, scriptures, he can understand also that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he can appreciate what that means. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.